Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm about to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I would.
Fred Hatcher, Fred Hatcher Jr., Chairman Friends in the building, man. Appreciate you coming out to fuck with him in the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes in the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep.
Hands up, eyes open to fist clip. Face, let me get some of this shit. This should be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold of the sea, we talking about the path of cubs. Like that's the party cubs, that is. I will never violate the cold of the sea. Will never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that, like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I'm never gonna go broke. Because sad to say that we ain't never had this shit roll. Well, I can never say how it's gonna go. But one thing for sure, or two things for certain. They know to shut up motherfuckers like us. They want to kill us. Close up in the casket. Read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains.
Never be sad, I would I like a hoe. Never been punk, I'll never let it slide. Never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever. No, get on my level hoe. Or go get a shovel hoe. It's never in question for my manhood. I get down. I'll never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I'll never squat to take a piss. Who's the bitch now?
I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit in the business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be perfect and pushing this shit to the motherfucking living. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitating. I will pass the cover to my last breath, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 in Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never.
Never ran, never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I done ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all want to listen. I will never put profit over politics, press with no our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down the legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I have a path to cover by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, by wherever the enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch. But we'll never, never, never have it. Never, never. Never, never.
Never gonna turn cold, my nigga. I can never trade. I never cross my homies out. That ain't how I made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto where I slum and rap it every day. Never knew no other way. This thing gon' never change. Never gonna bite my tongue. Fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself. I swear to God I stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down. Do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying. That's the same, dawg. Get your motherfucking money. That's the thing, dawg. Too many homies die young. Feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.
Here's a bias open the fist clench. Y'all know who this is and how we do this. Dr. Nolan for another episode of Free 'Em All Radio, live at internationalradio.com. We ready. Now, you ready, my sister? We ready. We all good. Yes, indeed.
5, 4, 3, 2.
We live and direct on all avenues, y'all. In other words, we come through the alleys, the gangways, the highways, freeways. We ride through the West Coast, East Coast. We coming through Ghana. We ride through, man, you know what I'm saying? We coming through everywhere, you know what I'm saying? We, man, Palestine, Turkey, wherever you want to be at, you know, we coming through there. We coming through there. We ain't set tripping, y'all, again. So, again, it's 6:30 Central Time, you know what I'm saying? We don't know what time it is, where you at, you know what I'm saying? Just believe. Free My Radio is locked and loaded for another episode. Y'all hear this at intellectualradio.com. Y'all can call in 708-223-8953. Also 929-477-3785. Let me know if we can be heard clearly. You know what I'm saying? PSAs, People's Service Announcement. We're going to have a flyer post up, y'all. You did for June 20th. Juneteenth, we're going to have a press conference. Pastor Bishop Grill. Got a thing we're gonna do. We're gonna be in a press conference in front of the wall. I hear I gotta say where the address is. When we say the wall, y'all supposed to know where we at, the corner of Madison and California, west side of Chicago. You know what I'm saying? We'll be calling a few things, you know what I'm saying, a few things in particular, like acknowledging the ground zero site. Stop. If you think I'm talking about New York, September 11th, stop, rewind. We're talking about 2337 West, Chairman Fred Hampton Way, formerly known as Monroe. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be a press conference right there. But we're going to convene at the press at the wall, though, Madison, California. If you're in China and they say, we meet you at the Great Wall, you know what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? We're saying meet us at the wall, June 20th. Again, let me get the proper introduction. This is a weekly episode of the program, the Black Panther Party, because the organization's kind of legacy of one of the baddest brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying? We've yet to wait. We'll be in the building. That's what it is, y'all. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be live and direct. You know what I'm saying, with this here, host it weekly every Wednesday, 6 o'clock or 6:30 Central Time. So we got to, you know, weigh it out. Jim Fred Hampton, also Jim Fred Hampton Jr., that is, and also Robert Allen, a.k.a. the Lady of Rage. Y'all let me know if y'all can hear me loud and clearly, loud and cubbly. My own mama say I'm cubbed out, you know what I'm saying? Tupac say, my own mama say I'm thugged out. I'm flipping a little bit pop, you know what I'm saying? No, you ain't gonna trip, because you know we're gonna keep it in good hands. Excuse me, we're gonna keep it in good pause. Panther pause, that is. My old mama say I'm curved out. Clinch fist to Luke Young's mother, Comrade Corey Jerry, formerly known as Deborah Johnson. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be in the freezing cold December the 4th, annually, laying out the details what occurred December the 4th, 1969. Whether it be the actual December 4th, 1969, that day standing strong, coming down over a comrade, over a husband, the old 99 shots coming in the bed, you know what I'm saying? Whether it be later on, a few minutes after they shot the 99 shots in there, being a cellmate with her son, the B, you know, still standing strong, you know what I'm saying? With Chairman Fred Bathro, with her husband, her comrade, her fallen comrade. Bathrobe on and his house shoes on, you know what I'm saying? Still, you know what I'm saying? Got to catch me to my boots on the ground, you know what I'm saying? She's standing with house shoes on the ground, still standing strong. Real talk, Chairman Fred, house shoes, you know what I'm saying? So, was it clinched this salute, you know, real talk. So, Felicia in the building, for your mom, Robert Taylor in the building. Shot rocking is live and direct. I see you, that's what it is, y'all. We just come back in from Philadelphia. Some people refer to it as Killadelphia. It's coming, you know what I'm saying? We will never. Excuse me, let me say that correctly. We will never forget, you know what I'm saying, the continuous acts of terrorism. A lot of people, not only in Philadelphia, Chicago, throughout the world, that was every day is September 11th for us, every day. And we never forget August 8th, 1978, the day in which, you know what I'm saying, the gangsters and criminals, the Frank Rizzos and the like, you know what I'm saying, they made their move, they vamped, they snatched up and kidnapped. You know, so we later became known as the Move Nine. We have Mike African, Derry Africa back out here on the streets with us. However, we say what France Fanon said, Algerian theoretician France Fanon, we would accept the concessions and we would never compromise our principles. We demand a release of the Move Nine. You know what I'm saying? We took some hard hits. You know what I'm saying? Gene Africa, Field Africa, and others who have been murdered behind enemy lines. There's a war waged on us. So when you have capital, you know what I'm saying? We have some people that haven't had any enemy tonight. We know that technically when we out tomorrow, former deputy minister of information for the Philadelphia branch of Black Panther Party has technically been taking up death row. However, we know the state still got plans to take him out. We got to keep the heat on the streets for the cases of Imam Jamil Alameen, Sundiata and Coley. You know what I'm saying? Those on political exile, the Silas Records, and so many others. We got to, you know what I'm saying, keep close to heart. In fact, we're looking for a call to come in from Teresa Schultz and also Russell Schultz Jr. We're going to touch, all of them touch on it briefly because we're going to go, we specifically want to touch on the case of Russell Maroon Schultz next week. I have called it back because I didn't get time to put it out correctly, but we're going to definitely bring them on. I want to touch on it briefly. We want to hit them harder. So those who are not familiar who that is, don't just ask Wikipedia or Google. I told some cats the other day, you know what I'm saying? You get the opportunity to get, you know, some talk to forces, real, saying, real deal, you know what I'm saying, live and direct. You know what I'm saying? So don't just don't rely on these different, you know what I'm saying, social sites and, you know what I'm saying, or the media in general. We have, you know what I'm saying, people who lay it out to you directly, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people come and say, man, I've seen the ABC piece and your mom laid it out. She's been laying it out for quite some time. Whether it be on ABC or chairman on 2337 West Chairman Fred Hathaway, or whether it be right at 804 South 17th Avenue, you got the opportunity to come see you. In fact, she can come see you. So whether it be inside the Cook County Jail, concentration camp, still standing strong, representing, you know what I'm saying? No surrender. That's what we're talking about. Jeff Goldberg in the building. Come right down to the building. That's what it is, y'all. Let's make history. Robert Taylor. There ain't no joke about it. We ain't real talk. You see Vegas in the building. Eric Yesco in the building. That's what it is, y'all. Y'all take a pause for the calls if y'all can. And let somebody know if they ain't tuned in, tune in. Better yet, come on and Cub in with us. 929-477-3785. Also, 708-223-8953. You know what I'm saying? Make sure y'all press 1 to be heard. Yes, cool. That's what it is in the building. Free them all. That's what, you know, we got y'all check out. We got new Cubs shoes. I got to get mine too. Get the resources together. You know, and get them Cubs shoes. We need y'all assistance too. Y'all can't hit us up at Chairman Fred Jr. at gmail.com on PayPal. We're going to get assistance. Y'all make that trip, make that trek down there to the grave site of Chairman Fred Hampton. We can't forget. Not even catch forget. The police don't forget. Every year they shoot up his tombstone down in Hayesville, Louisiana. Yeah, real talk. Like clockwork, you know what I'm saying? So we say, well, we'll follow, but then we'll make sure we're there. We're down there. Leon Albert, you know, it's real talk. Quavin, my brother, you know what I'm saying? Man, can't call and give us an update. I called him a post you put up, you know what I'm saying? His brother, we tag team and a lot of things, but in regards to particularly these propaganda bombs, you know what I'm saying? The music, you know what I'm saying? What you mean by propaganda bombs? You can't say in one hand, there's a war being waged on us, and this is a different tactics. Me and Mother Comrade and Coin Jerry was going through, there's been a lot of, you know, proposals being brought to us recently, you know what I'm saying, in regards to, you know, what about a movie on this? And a lot of people just say, okay, well, just, as long as you get the word out, and you know what I'm saying, but that integrity, now I just was rapping a few minutes ago about something that sticks in me, you know what I'm saying? I'm approximately 12 years old, we're in the basement of this church, on 55th Palina, south side of Chicago. And there was a book deal brought to Mother Comrade Coin and Jerry. And it was freezing cold. This is one of the winters, and I reiterate that, I stress that, one of the winters which our gas was cut off, our heat was cut off. I would say, how could that be happening? You know what I'm saying? But this is reality. This is admirable. Y'all never heard all this, the struggle we had about furnaces and so on and so forth. And Robert Taylor, man, we on deck. This Father's, well, we say every Father's Day, every day Father's Day, every day Mother's Day, but it just falls on June 16th. Man, we be on deck. We going to be we down there, check with air, real talk. So, yes, sir. We welcome. Come on with it. Come on with it. come on with it. Yes, sir. It's going down. Yeah, we look forward to it. Right on, brother. It'll be an honor. It'll be an honor. So we down. So they brought this proposal, and just even the opening with it, the police that was involved in the assassination, they were making them as the protagonists, the good guys. And it was more about their life, their, you know, their children, home life, so on and so forth. And she wasn't going for it. Chairman Fred's widow wasn't going for it. And you know, I recall actually, I said, so if this was to happen, this would equate to the gas being turned on, the heat back in the house. She said it's not happening. And that principle, that position, you know what I'm saying,
know what I'm saying? Hey, I say, daddy didn't make no chumps. Mama didn't raise no punks. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going for the payoff, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, so we say we want this album. You know what I'm saying? However, that legacy, you know what I'm saying, man, if weight is done, we're going to make sure we aid to our last roar. You know what I'm saying? And after that, you know what I'm saying, we're going to make sure. And it's important. Sister was telling me that they had told us to get word from the brothers in the camps, California concentration camps, the day after the ABC piece had showed. And brothers that was here, Captain was talking about when they seen the piece. Literally, they said brothers was tearing up their girly magazines. And they came on the yard doing their burpees. Y'all know those who locked me on the West Coast in particular. Y'all know, they know what the burpees, how you do the workouts and what they call the in Illinois, we got the dips. We make, you know, make a little chili mac and all that. New spring in California. So it's different dynamics, but these are different dynamics that you can tell which when you hear a captive that. And the cats in California had talked about when they came out, the pride they had. They said, man, what else? This sister, man, this is the color down on Chairman Fred. You know what I'm saying? And that, how inspirational was. And I remember talking to this brother before, and he was talking to he was in a different formation, another formation. He was in another formation. He was saying, just remember, just hearing about the sisters, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying it's no gender tripping type of way. That's something that the party was able to deal with in a way that it did not come at the expense of the other. In other words, acknowledging contradictions, however, not at the expense. Again, y'all heard me quote him before, I'm going to quote him again, Sheikh Anta Diop. And he talked about African people. We come from a society in which we worked in harmony with nature, you know what I'm saying? We can ride the elephant, go where we're going, the elephant can continue to go where it's going. However, this system that we're subjected to, it comes at the expense of gutting you, cutting you, you know what I'm saying? And that's the deal is, they ain't what we up with, you know what I'm saying? We ain't up with that there. And we talk about the courage of Mother Comrade, you know, Deborah Johnson, you know what I'm saying? As opposed, a lot of people want to run, you know what I'm saying, at the expense of, okay, you know, for this to be, the woman got to be strong, you got to cut the man, or vice versa, you know what I'm saying? The party, you know what I'm saying? I mean, in that battlefield, you know, and that, on the streets of the Black Panther Party, newspaper, the breakfast program, it was an organ, you know what I'm saying? And a sister, Harold Wilson's cousin, I got the sister's name. I remember somebody called in, he was doing a show in LA. And, was it Betty? Oh, forgive me, this was her name. But they tried to sidetrack her, you know what I'm saying? They tried to push the line, they tried to push the line. She said, dig, we was Black Panthers. And she, you know what I'm saying? There's a pride still in that. Thank you, Washington. Feel my tour. I've seen the field. Bronze, you need to run on. Salute right back at you. Salute right back at you. Come right cool in the building. That's what it is. Rosa, show body in the building. Man, let us, how you feeling, my brother? I just gave Mother Comrade one of the books that you had sent donated to the Hampton House. And give us a background on you. Excuse me. Give us a background on you. You know what I'm saying? Your history in the streets and all that. You know what I'm saying? Stand up, got in. Stand up, got not. You know, the scenes and the images with the accident, man. Rest up. Rest up, man. Rest up, warrior. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Man, go in that corner, get a shot of water. Come on back out, swing it, man. You know what I'm saying? We, man. You know what I'm saying? We need solid forces in all arenas. You go, that's what it is, right on. That's what Robert Taylor looking forward to seeing you. Again, Father's Day, y'all. Going down to see the chairman. We're going to check up on the tombstone of the chairman. We're going to check up on this guy. Who is this guy that they got to shoot this tombstone of every year? Who is this? Who is this individual? They, you know what I'm saying? They say this picture in Menard Penitentiary in the gun towers. You dig? Who is this? You know what I'm saying? Why do you, you know what I'm saying? Why do you want to keep on, as Malcolm said when he's talking about the March on Washington, they can't stop it. Co-opt them, water down, change it, make them something to be. You know what I'm saying? This example, we're going to check up on it. We say, you know what I'm saying? What Chairman Fred said, you can kill a revolutionary, but you can't kill a revolution. You may jail a freedom fighter, but you can't jail a fighter for freedom. You may run a liberator out of the country, but you can't run a fighter for liberation of the country. If you do, you'll come up with questions that don't question, conclusions don't conclude. And people that you thought would be acting like pigs, acting like people moving on pigs. You did. The politics ain't no inspiration there on it. You go back and look at those speeches Chairman Fred laid down, they still relevant right now. You may hear yourself to the comrade, Queen Daphne, we got the callers in queue. We're looking for our own show store and starting to call in. Y'all I was talking. We're talking about this the Malcolm X events that were convened internationally. They were, you know what I'm saying? And Malcolm X's birthday, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. They want to commend those forces who have taken a position to say that, you know what I'm saying? Let's never forget, because, you know what I'm saying? If we don't think, recognize the importance of who these representatives of our people were, who they are, we got to make sure we maintain our hearts and our minds. Why at Malcolm X Park in Philadelphia, why is there an ongoing petition to change the name of that park to Christopher Columbus Park? Why at Malcolm X College, they want to change the name of that college? Why do they want to deprive us of, you know what I'm saying, this legend that stood up for us, you know what I'm saying, that represented us, you know what I'm saying, that impacted us, it still impacts us, you know what I'm saying? How many countless of those held captive talk about, you know, when they just come reading the autobiography of Malcolm X, and they edited that. See, what they fail to recognize, I'm sticking up to the system, what they fail to recognize is that this stuff is so potent. All they need is a eighth of it. They talk about David Walker's appeal in the 1800s. I heard me quote David Walker. David Walker, one of his quotes was that the most intelligent of African descent can say something. It becomes under doubt or suspicion. However, a white person from any walk of life can say something that's going to be taken as a fact. His writings were being smuggled through, you know what I'm saying, to slave the ships, you know what I'm saying? Those held captive, you know, they were smuggling that. And, you know, it get edited, you know, so, but it's so potent, they can try all they want to, you know what I'm saying? It's going to stick out. And they talk about there are certain chapters that they have never released on the autobiography of Malcolm X, you know what I'm saying? And just even in general, the translation, because, again, politics impacts your hearing, how you take information. You best believe that Alex Haley, you know what I'm saying, will be Malcolm, stuff that lots of the Malcolm was saying, he really couldn't relate to. You know, not that he intentionally lied. This is what I be talking to. And it's champ, you be talking too fast. I said, no, I agree with you in a lot of cases. However, a lot of cases, these individuals just listen too slow. They can't, you know what I'm saying? You be talking about, I told people, we talked about it before, how Cool and Devin did what Devin Johnson, 19 years old, just turning 19 years old a few days prior, 8.5 months pregnant. She had laid out the details, covered down when police came and shooting over 99 rounds in their home on West Monroe, now is what Chairman Fred have to wait, covered down. And after she spoke, other people have come up and said they switched it around. Now, they weren't intentionally lying. They couldn't conceive it. They couldn't even, it was no frame of reference, you know what I'm saying? You know, like I say, it's certain things that people can't even perceive. You know, like sometimes people be saying, like people say, well, the police gave us something or the state gave us, I no frame of reference of that, you know what I'm saying? And so it impacts your hearing, you know what I'm saying? Like, people, you know, again, politics, again, I'm giving on. Let me quote the late great Field Marshal George Jackson. He said, capitalism not only affects the economy, but it affects the psychic of the people. It not only affects the economy, but it affects the psychic of the people. How you hear things, how you speak, how you relate, what you consider priority. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so man, people are thinking that's a slip when, you know, Steve Harvey may tell Monique, no, forget the principles. This is what I'm saying about the money game. Well, he didn't mean it that way. Oh, he meant it that way. He meant it that way, yeah. And the deal that we had to start, you know, acknowledging these, you know what I'm saying, these contradictions, you know what I'm saying, they let you know through the door what it is. So that's what we're talking about, you know what I'm saying? Raymond Richard, I can't see your comment all the way through. I know we supposed to connect it up on the show. I sent the number to you. So let's, you know, if I didn't follow with you, I'll bite the bullet. I'm self-critical. But I'll get the number to you again. Let's do it. Let's make history. Let's take history. Let's tape history. Malcolm X, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, you know what I'm saying? We beat the people all over. You know what I'm saying? I overheard one of the comrades explain to someone yesterday about the Cubs. And they was saying, well, I don't know. So I said, well, what about this? The other lady come on trying to make this, you know, what about this? What about that? Well, the comrades said, oh, this is the organization. You know what I'm saying? This is the, they said, well, now the children? And she said, no, the next generation of the Black Panther Party. And, you know what I'm saying? She equated, you know what I'm saying? It was what, visionary, Minister UEP Newton said, she said, like I Minister UEP Newton said, the Black Panther Party were the sons and daughters of Malcolm X. And we respect that lineage of struggle. Again, that lineage of struggle. Because one of the setbacks of struggle is a lot of times people get engaged in struggle in a reactionary type of way. This is the people, they come out, man, the police, they done went there. They got killing us crazy now. I'm like, okay, well, when did this start, man? Man, you like, he killed my cousin the other day. So is this just starting? Yeah. They be dead serious. They be dead serious. Deal is. System ain't broken. System's doing exactly what it's designed to do. Fact is, it's more hungrier because, again, it's never satisfied. The deal is, you did. Just because I feel contrary to like some, the old saying that says, if a tree falls in the forest and you don't hear the tree fall, it doesn't make a sound. Of course it makes a sound, regardless of if you hear it or not. I'm saying, reality is, this occupying army has been moving on us historically throughout this trip. You know what I'm saying? And then so we said that lineage. And we even go before that, but we're going to go with this, you know, let's say modern time, modern day history. We are the master of the Black Panther Party, one of the masters of the Black Panther Party Cubs. We are the great grandchildren of Garvey, the offspring of Malcolm, and the Cubs of Panthers. You did, brother Muhammad, I thought he was at the Compton branch, but I think it's LA. I just seen this piece, I thought it was Compton. And he is, a lot of people say they reference 1969 as the year of the Panthers, you know what I'm saying? Took a lot of hits, made a lot of hits. To get a lot of business, put it on the map. In fact, former Attorney General John Minshew and former Director of the FBI, John Edgar Hoover, amongst their statements, they stated that the Black Panther Party represented the number one threat to the internal security of the United States since that of the Civil War. In addition to that, they had also said something to the effect that the Black Panther Party must be destroyed by the end of 1969. So it wasn't no coincidence December the 4th they made their move. It did. Wasn't no coincidence January 17th, you know what I'm saying, on the campus of UCLA, they made their moves, you know what I'm saying, with the assassinations of Deputy Minister of Education John Huggins, assassinations of the badass Bunchy Carter, Deputy Minister of Defense, our apprentice Bunchy Carter. You did. You know what I'm saying? These strategic hits, strategic strikes, you know what I'm saying, who to move on, when to move on, you know what I'm saying? And this was the move to send a message of terror to terrify the masses, the message of horror to horrify the masses. Part of the ongoing breaking process that we've seen during the era of chattel slavery. An pregnant sister running away from the plantation, not to be just hunted down by the colonials, not to be hunted down just by the masters on the plantation, but to be brought back. In front of the populace on the plantation, the people on the plantation, and have that sister pregnant stomach slit open, and the colonial stump that fetus to death, send a message of terror that passed down for generations to come. You know what I'm saying? Automatically, when you come in the world, and in most cases, that white baby hits you. You know, so your mama right behind you to the AV. This kid don't raise up. Don't raise up, you know what I'm saying? That breaking process, you know what I'm saying? Or mamas and daddies. I don't want, you know, let's be very clear. You know what I'm saying? It's part of the breaking process. You know what I'm saying? We want to create a climate. We want to heighten the contradictions, you know what I'm saying? Where we up the ante, you know what I'm saying? See, it's right to fight back. In fact, we're gonna quote late great Field Marshal George Jackson, which he stated in solidarity, brother. He said, mothers, embrace the Black Panther Party. Embrace that. You know what I'm saying? Anyone says right on. We're talking about live and direct, making history, taking history, and taping history. You know what I'm saying? Y'all tune in with us. Y'all better, yeah, come on, Cub in with us. You know, that's what it is, y'all. Break the process, even the way that Malcolm X was assassinated, the way he was assassinated, got to be put in correct context. That's what it is. Comrade, we got any callers in queue? 929.
Free them all, Brother Chairman. No callers in queue. Call if you'd like to come in queue, please press 1. Free them all.
Mm-hmm. 929-477-3785. Press 1. Also, we can meet up at 708-223-8953, y'all. Making history, taking history, taking history, y'all. That's what it is, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Y'all come on in. Now, better yet, Cub on in with us, you know what I'm saying? Raymond Richard, I see you. I'm trying to see you. Oh, I missed your comment. I'm just like, okay. Well, I would tell you real talk in plain language. Turn off the ass, motherfuckers. As Chairman Fred would say, real talk. Lavinia, on deck. Philadelphia, call Cub on in with us, something. Let us know. Give us some details about the event, the phenomenal event that clinched the salute. Yourself, our brother Gabe, and others, you know what I'm saying? Again, we just left Philadelphia, the historical stomach grounds, so many situations we can never forget. May 13, 1985, Osage Avenue, what happened? You know what I'm saying? We can never forget August 8, 1978. We cannot forget yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, every day is like September 11th for us, y'all. But, again, we were fortunate to have the Minister of Competition, Pan Africa, so many others. I intended to give me a visit in Ramona, Africa. We're going to make it the next time we come back. We might get some callers on this other line here. We're going to see. Calling you, how we do this here. Yep. Yeah, calling you. Welcome. Free Mall Radio. Welcome to Intellectual Radio. Talk to us. Cub, what is?
Hey, Fremont, fam, what's going down, man? I'm glad you got a different number. I can't call in. I just got your POS phone.
Oh, I can relate. I'm with you on that. I can relate. Yeah. So, yeah, they tripping with us with our hood phones. We metro. We can't call directly in on the 929 number. Hey, if we got you 210 can on the string, we're going to do what it do. Who we got calling in with?
Oh, you know, this your favorite white boy, man. Call out all the way from L.A. How you doing, man?
Hey, Adam called him from L.A., man. That's what it is, man.
Hey, man, you've been breaking it down, man, for real. I dig it, man. I just wanted to let y'all know just quickly what's going on out here. So we're getting this homeless count back. And, you know, we've had a 40% increase all over up in Alameda County, 40% increase in homelessness. They're hiding the L.A. numbers. But the numbers that I'm getting from my contacts at USC are saying we're going up to 70,000 people on the streets this year. So that's at least a 22% increase, you know. And yeah, the thing, and this is leading us to the question. I want to know what's going on in Chicago with that. I mean, out here in L.A., it's about 1 in 12 people of African descent are on the street. You know, what is happening in Chicago?
Yes, indeed. Everywhere, one, the gentrification, better yet, you know, let's call it what it is, a land grab. You know what I'm saying? It's impacting us every which way. You know, in Chicago, we just discussed in Philadelphia, you know what I'm saying, about, you know, the different moves of universities and other, they're moving on the people, and it impacts us. Just like last time we just hear and we devalue it or just minimize it, it's just a question of people being homeless. But like every other attack, what are you talking about? Crack, what are we talking about? The mass imprisonment. But we have to put this in this context. I mean, you told me, like the homeless question, like in Chicago, even the students, the children, you know what I'm saying, the population of children, I can't give you the numbers right now, but the CPS, Chicago Public Schools, the amount of children that are homeless, you know what I'm saying? And you know, a lot of times you're using these cliche little quotes like, oh, it starts in the home. And drawing the foregone conclusion, these cats got a home. You know what I'm saying? And we've seen this past winter, continuous displacement. You know, even when people try to, you know what I'm saying, moves we have seen, we've been attacked. You mentioned Alameda County. Like even in Oakland, I recall of us, you know, we are going and refurbishing homes, you know what I'm saying, putting people in there. And us being, they wait till we get the homes put together. Then we being attacked. The people being attacked.
Adam.
So it's not a question of, you know, saying if we can address these contradictions. It's meat ingredient. In order to be a successful prison warden, some people have to be locked up. The homeless population is a necessary ingredient, you know, what I'm saying, for this system. So it's a myriad of ways in which it's impacting us. You know what I'm saying? So, so I can't give you exact numbers, but it's vast up here in Chicago. And in fact, the new housing that they have planned for African colonized people in general is the penitentiaries in the graveyards. You know, And all this benefits the system in so many ways. This is I mentioned a few weeks back how they just, you know, how the police is common to come through and just grab certain individuals and throw them in, you know, when we grew up, throw them in lineups, you know what I'm saying? But now just throw these cases, kind of like in that movie, was it Gridlock, Tupac, or was it I'm making it up.
Yeah, they played. The one with the British cat?
Yeah, that was Gridlock.
They was Gridlock.
Right, in the case, they just want to grab his homeless cat and threw the case on him. That's a reality, you know what I'm saying? So this whole scenario, you know what I'm saying? And then even, you know what I'm saying, even the bureaucratic red tape that people do, you know what I'm saying, just to get housing, not, it's crazy. As long as we start talking about the whole, you know what I'm saying, increased taxes, you know what I'm saying? In fact, that's what we try to use all our campaigns to let people know it's not about, we use it as a template to involve the people they can relate to. Like we say, free Fred, it wasn't about just me, it was about the people in general, the countless numbers of political prisoners, our people here are captive, so these concentration camps. We're talking about the Hampton House, you know what I'm saying, the predatory loans, you know what I'm saying, the whole the bogus ticketing that's going on around Malcolm X Park in Philadelphia, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We have to go out of the community. A lot of times we have to engage in utilizing these euphemisms, like the Great Migration. You know, people say that our people just left from down south on their own, or you know what I'm saying? People just didn't leave down south. You know, they were raped, hung, lynched. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Lily White, Frank Lewis
more,
was talking
more,
about.
More like the internal refugee crisis.
And that's the step we have to start doing. We have to start using brutal terms for brutal realities. You know what I'm saying? Alcoholics Anonymous said the first step in addressing a problem is recognizing we have a problem. You know what I'm saying? I mean, right in front of our eyes, these numbers, I mean, the people, I mean, being wiped out. You know what I'm saying? Being wiped out. Two years ago, Chicago, Cook County had the highest number of the black populace per capita, had the highest population of black people in the country per capita. That's over with. And, even the situation in Oakland, about Lake Merritt, you mentioned Alameda County, you just go back to Lake Merritt. Barbecue with Becky. They were talking about how the white lady had called saying she felt threatened because black people was walking around Lake Merritt. This is the climate that creates the George Zimmerman gun down Trayvon Martin. We're not just the police, not just the slumlords, not just the politicians, the legislators with the taxes. The common everyday people, you know what I'm saying, feel comfortable saying, you know, it's an arrogance. We go by the site where Chairman Fred was assassinated at. Man, they look at us crazy. We come through that now, you know what I'm saying? I mean, again, this is on the risk of West Side. I always said, man, they get that West Side wash. It's pretty much age. It's like with the indigenous community. They say, okay, in the mood on the Pawnees and Cherokees, they say, man, they get the Apaches, man. Woo, that's going to be, that's major hits. So, but to answer your question, it's going down. You know what I'm saying? They are moving fast and they are moving hard. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the home. You know what I'm saying? The homeless, man. The numbers. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I ain't got the exact numbers right now, but I mean, it's moving at rapid speed. Real talk. I missed a few of y'all who get tuned in with us, y'all again. Right on. Says, okay, we got Biggie and Q. Coney, right on, internet, right on, sis, real Mark. Hey, Mo, we always rally. Oh, man, that's what it is, y'all. I see some cats a long time. I ain't seen in a while, 20 minutes with us. Again, Clint Smith salute. The funeral rules, I just spoke at, you know what I'm saying, Moose Man, amongst others, you know what I'm saying. Jackie Waters going to be doing something for her June 30th, yeah, doing a memorial. June 16th, we going down south to see Chairman Fred's tombstone. Y'all, we need y'all help. We need y'all support. You know what I'm saying? Get at us. ChairmanFredJr@gmail.com or PayPal. We trying to get, you know what I'm saying, make that trip. We going to see about the chairman because the chairman can't see about us, y'all. That's what it is. That West High, the President's Street Tour. Can I get a different monster? What we are in West High. Ohio Presence, Pigs, President's Streets, tuning in. Yes, indeed. We got that documented. That's what it is, y'all. Okay, yeah, Adam, keep us posted, man. I'm going to be working on getting
free
tomorrow.
Yeah, let us know what we can do with the Hampton House, man. Get that word out, whatever, man. Actually, what's the update on that before I go? What's the update on that loan and shit? How's that moving?
We still moving the group. We got our programs, campaigns going down, and then we still, sources, take your saying deal with their mortgage as well as bring up the code. So we're looking at about as we speak now, $250,000. That number is increasing because we made the proposal to the banks yet. We're just trying to give them something before we come. Before we come with something. So we're still building with that though. So I need to get back on y'all's show too.
Most definitely, man. Let me understand
you. In fact, I'm becoming your way this summer too. Be back home. You better get it because the weather's good right now today. So they ain't no guarantee. You know, I go up here, man. Hey, I got my skull cap on. Just in case it switch up on me in a few minutes.
Yeah, I hear you.
Real talk.
All right, man. Free them all. I'll talk to you soon.
That's what it is. Free them all. Right on. Ish, the Bill Labonte. I see you, my brothers. Right on. That's what it is. I need to get you over there, man. We're trying to get this studio popping over there, man. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no guarantee tomorrow. Oh.
I had a call.
We had a call in 708-223-8953. Yeah, I think somebody in queue on 929-477-3785. Again, 708-223-8953. So y'all call back. I missed y'all on that last call. Any calls in queue on that end? Comrade Daphne?
Free them all, Brother Chairman. No callers in queue. Callers to come in queue, please press 1. Free them all.
Free them all. And that call I just missed, forgive me, you know what I'm saying? Get us back again.
Free them all, Brother Chairman.
Free them all.
Free them all, Brother Chairman. We have caller 267. Free them all.
Free them all. Lavinia.
Hey, right on, my sister. Right on. Free them all.
Peace.
Can you hear me? Hold on one second. Give me my phone. One second. Make sure this phone. Okay. All right. Okay, my sister. Free them all, you down?
I can hear you.
Okay, can you?
I'm here. Okay.
Cool. Right on. We still on Cloud Thousand, or better yet, as Chairman Fred was saying, we still too proletarian and revolutionary intoxicated to be astronomically intimidated. In other words, we still high up the people from the phenomenal event that was convened in Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to just give me what is going to right on. You, Brother Gabe, and other organizers, tell us about the event. What happened in honor of Malcolm X, Elijah, El Shabazz, what came out of it? What's some of the next move? What's going down there? I mentioned earlier about they're trying to even change the name of the park, Malcolm X Park, to Christopher Columbus Park. Give us some insights down on the ground in Philadelphia. What's going on now?
Oh, wow. So this weekend was phenomenal. We decided that this year we wanted to make sure that more groups, more leaders were able to come and use the platform to reach the community, to reach the people. So it was an honor to have you come in all the way and build with us and spread the message to the people so they actually understand it's not just about the celebration piece, although we have to reach our community however we can. By doing that, by having the vendors, by talking about the Black excellence that's in our communities, that's global, talking about the Black excellence that resides within our Black men, which is important because a lot of times we just talk about the toxic nature of our Black men, but we don't talk about those that actually stood to protect us, that gave their lives. So we wanted to make sure that that day was a reflection of our brother, Malcolm X. We wanted to make sure that day, because we also did a tribute to Nipsey Hussle, we had a panel. We wanted to make sure that day was a reflection of how he changed his life and what he was trying to do as well, what he was doing. We wanted to make sure that day was a reflection of you, Chairman. We wanted to make sure that day was a reflection of your father, Fred Hampton. So we wanted to make sure that we captured the essence of the beauty of our people that fought for us and that continue to fight for us every day. So it exceeded my expectations. Obviously, I was, like, co-hosting some, so I wish I would have been able to really be out there a little bit more with the crowd and really get a feel. But just to know that we got so much great feedback, that people said they really got a lot of information, that they really enjoyed the energy, the love. We even had the PG, the UNIA PG, Michael Duncan, he came and he spoke as well. So that was beautiful. When we have the park now, getting into that as far as the name change, you have people that have gentrified that area, that neighborhood, that are going around as cowards and doing a petition anonymously trying to change the name. So now we have an obligation, we have a duty to make sure that we fight that and we combat that any way we can. So the first thing we wanted to do was take ownership of the park again, make sure that we're cleaning up our part. This is our home, and we need to make it look like it's our home, and we need to come together collectively. So we have we decided to put a petition out that day as well, and we decided to get some of the people in the community involved and say, hey, the first thing we're going to do is paint these bars, and we're about to paint them red, black, and green again, so they know exactly what they're stepping on, what land they're stepping on when they come around in this area. This is not for them, this is for us. This is our community. So now it's up to us to step up and make sure that we show them better than we can tell them. It's enough of the talking.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, again, we still charged up from it, you know what I'm saying? We'll finish this salute. What's Malcolm X Park, I mean, years back when we coming through Philly, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I would always, you know what I'm saying, I would come through there. Surrounded, I mentioned earlier about the gentrification, or we refer to as the land grab. What's some of the signs of that? What part of Philadelphia are we speaking about? And what's some of the signs of the massive land grab that's happening? And what's the argument? Because some people say, well, it's better for the, you know what I'm saying, because some arguments was waged in Chicago with the closing down the projects. People said, well, looks better, so on and so forth. Now you see the grass over now State Street. But a question that many people avoided was, you know, where are the people at? What happened to the people? You know, say, no doubt. But I would tell you, my brother, real talk, it was just another contradiction, no doubt about it. Yes, indeed. And even Philadelphia, I was talking to Teresa, some others, and they were saying, like, some people were saying, well, they got some new lights inside the park. And
yeah,
dynamics that they come through, our time, people say, well, it comes through the sense of what? Why? You know, so like, even how is it that you can get more programs? And,
you'll know that they're coming when you start seeing more dog shit on your payment. When you start seeing a lot of dogs, you'll know that they're coming around and they're infiltrating your neighborhood. When you start seeing little mini coffee shops, you know that they're coming. Because for them, life is free.
He just said,
right, and down here is like the OCK or something like that. So it's like this little green thing, and it's like a chain of them. And you start to notice that they're planting themselves, and you know that there's more police around with that, because now they walk around in neighborhoods that they said they would never want to walk through freely with their animals, with their heads up, and they're not afraid of anything because they know that their big brother has their back, their blue gang. So you will know that. You will see, and then next thing you know, you'll see the signs up also that corroborate that, as far as, okay, clean up after your dog, blah, blah, blah. Like, you start seeing that.
But what
the people don't understand is that it's not being cleaned for the people that reside there currently. It is being cleaned to be more attractive so people can purchase and invest in the community and in the houses and get rid of you. But while people think that, okay, this is looking nice for us, they're doing this, it's not in our best interest. We have to do it for ourselves. And I know that there's this narrative out there that's asking for these people to help and do something with, you know, land that they've purchased, et cetera, et cetera. But what we must understand is that we have to have self-determination. We have to do it ourselves. My stance is very clear. I don't want you to give me shit. Turn over, Delaney, if you want to do that. But I'm not asking you to build no home for me for low cost, for affordability. We're not asking that. We're saying turn it over because it's not yours. We're going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to do what we need to do for our people. We don't need them to give us affordable housing. We can do it ourselves. We can take these abandoned, these vacant lots, these abandoned homes and everything, and we can come together. We have enough skills in our community to do the housing. We have enough churches. We have enough empty stores to build homes for the people. We don't need these outsiders who are just going to use us and then displace us afterwards to do anything for us, because that's when they own you. We're not looking for owners. So there's a false narrative that's out here that's thinking that the people are going to help us. They're fixing the community for us. That's not true. They're getting rid of you. And for people that own their homes, they're literally riding around taking pictures of your home. They're sending it to you, your family members, because this has happened to me. My grandma, she'll be 87 in a couple of days. They send postcards saying, hey, can we purchase your home? So now you're stalking her home, and you're sending the postcards and stuff, and you're saying, hey, let's buy your home from you. And some people are falling for it, not realizing that the next place you move to, they're about to go up too, and they're going to get rid of you.
Right.
Your taxes, they're using taxes. They're making them higher to force people out. So these are things that we have to go to the table and talk about as a people, as a community, and figure out strategically what we need to do. So we don't have to purchase, per se, the land and the homes. You take them. Everyone doesn't have the capital to do that. You take what is yours. You clean these vacant lots, and you provide food for your people, for yourself, without fences.
Hmm. Yes, indeed. Right on. You know, just and like even the political dynamics, you know, saying like the increased ticketing, you know, so it'll be cars, like you see big things, you know, Chicago or Chirac, you know, we always say it's two different cities here. You got Chirac and you got Chicago. You know, individuals riding bikes on sidewalks, you know, saying getting these tickets, you know. And so, you know, all this, you know, part of, you know, forcing you out one way or another. And it's something how, you know, like even the even the initial projects they had now State Street in Chicago, we talk about like how they, when those in the white community were there, they would have the elevators were working, social services was there, so on and so forth. But, you know, so in our community there, all of a sudden they quote unquote disappear. And, you know, a logical question, how is it, you know what I'm saying, what are we talking about New York, Chicago, Detroit, whatever the case. The white community, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, they move around safely without any heat, you know what I'm saying? In the case around Comiskey Park from North with the baseball team, the Cubs, I distinguished that the baseball, not the Panther Cubs, the baseball team, the Cubs. You know, a white woman got a purse snatch, 5 minutes, case solved, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so this is happening in our community, it's done by design. They move us around. They can be caught into the indigenous community. You know, they move on reservations, so on and so forth. That's what we see happening. You know, in our community. So we want to sort of put this in political context. What's really happening? You know, the land grab and again, new housing that they got planned for us. The penitentiaries in the graveyards. I always tell brother Gabe, bring them all. He just y'all rocked it. You know what I'm saying? Again, I was honored and humbled to touch down on the ground, you know what I'm saying? We attempt to correlate what's happening in the outside community, you know what I'm saying, to what's happening in various respective prisons and concentration camps. We talked about we was waiting a call from the family of Russell Maroon Schultz, who wanted to bang, you know what I'm saying? In fact, I last seen him when I went to go visit Mumia Abu-Jamal, and I broke to the other side to see Russell Maroon Schultz to talk to him. But I talked to him on the phone the other day. He's 75 years old, and they depriving him of a lot of medical attention. I mean, I was hearing the atrocities about this, you know, he's like literally stapling his stomach, like you stapling the box. And he was saying he couldn't get to the hospital because they didn't have enough gun cars. In other words, you know, cars who had shotguns to go behind them. This is historical. This is a figure, you know what I'm saying, that's been that history is intertwined, right there in Philadelphia in particular. But also, these now how they the state is subleasing or whatever. The letters, you cannot write a prisoner directly in Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania. The letters now have to be outsourced to somewhere in New Orleans. You hear anything about that, sis? And they make a copy of them, the letters.
And yeah.
The prisoners get a copy. Can you comment on that? You know anything about that?
A lot of people, they don't necessarily know how much I'm involved in the prison work, going inside of the prisons and stuff. But I made sure it was important for me to do my part to make sure that we can say, hey, don't forget our people. But if you're not actually working and helping and making sure our brothers and sisters know that we love you, I don't have to know you to love you, but you are a reflection of me. So with that, we have restrictions. And it was like, hey, you can't take pictures. For a while, they weren't letting us take pictures. They took away part of the food. So part of that was, you know, you have people that are diabetic, you have elders, you have children and stuff. So they were finding a way to take away your visits. They were finding ways to, okay, if you have to touch the hand, the machines were faulty. So some people were coming up with false positives, and they were saying, hey, you can't visit the person, even though you may have flown or drove however many hours or days. And they were saying, hey, you can't go in there. You can't see the person.
Yeah.
So then with the letters, they were saying, hey, we have to ship it to Florida. With some of the people, it was like, go to Florida, go through them. Then they have to copy it. You can't even have originals and stuff. Then they were saying something about the pictures. Like, it was a lot. Some of the restrictions are kind of off, but the crazy thing is that they blame those who are incarcerated for it, those that they kidnapped, right? But it was their own guards that were getting busted in the rings for selling the drugs. They didn't talk about that much. They won't expose that, that the guards are the ones that were selling the drugs. The guards are the ones who are raping inmates and stuff. Like, it's time to talk about the truth, and it's time to expose those things. So for them, they wanted to censor people's freedom of speech, you know, your mail and everything. They wanted to stop certain things. Like, you can't say certain stuff already in your letters. And then it was, okay, we're not sending these letters out. You can't have you can't have cards from your loved one. It's really ridiculous. It's really bad. And like I said, the false positive was something that really affected a lot of the families and friends of those who are sitting behind bars. Because you look forward to your mail, you look forward to your visits, and to be denied that. And then a lot of people, because they have questions, they're thrown in the hole. It's bad. And to go back to your question as far as once we see other people walking around in our community, and, you know, if the police, if they call them, they're coming, they're showing up. The other last week, when we called the ambulance from our grandma, it took them over 30 minutes to arrive. Over 30 minutes for a place that it takes 5 minutes to get to my, not even that. So we see how they criminalize us. They don't do what they're supposed to, yet we beg them. We beg them, right, as a collective we beg. And they're still showing us that their system is designed just for them. When we talk about getting tickets for jaywalking or riding your bike on a pavement. I haven't talked about this a lot. I had a family member who was killed in the summertime towards the end in August by the police. He was riding his bike, and they said he made a U-turn on a two-way street, though, and everybody, it's like a busy street kind of, everybody does it. People do U-turns, everything in their cars and stuff, and they found the reason to stop him on a bike, to harass him. Now, he said any means necessary as well. So he decided, you know, if you start shooting at me, I'm not going to just, it's not going to be. Like, we got to hit each other.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I
can't say that I wasn't happy or content that he went out not with his hands up saying don't shoot. But the fact that you can be riding a bike and make a U-turn and be murdered. And they kept showing it on the news. Like, we had to watch his body being thrown in a police car. It's like the trauma, you know, that they inflict on us to try to make people be afraid and not stand up. It's a lot.
Yes, indeed. You know, I just had a flashback when you were talking about, like, even the tactic with the prison administration attempts to put out this propaganda, like, you know, to blame the victims, blame the prisons. See the outside community. It's always an attempt to say, you know, our community, you know, responsible for the drugs, so on and so forth. But I remember a situation in Statesville, which we refer to as Deathville, due to the amount of deaths that go there. But George DeTeller was a thing. He was like a mayor dating to the prison system. You know what I'm saying? Oh, let me throw this comment there. Erica Yesko just pointed out, but even the mail situation, with the additional bureaucracy, how people get the wrong mail, the editing process, you know what I'm saying? Because you go through different stages, the guards, so on and so forth. So people get, you know what I'm saying, cut up pieces of mail, if they get any mail at all. So I just want to tell it in. You can only imagine, you know, who's getting the contracts, you know, the additional contracts, you know what I'm saying, to go through the mail, so on and so forth. PRM, I see you, my brother. Yes, sir. But I remember Georgia telling Stateville when they brought the scales, the drug scales down, the big TVs. And he said, no, he said, ain't nobody sneaking this in the ass. He said, he made it clear. Yeah, he was clear, you know what I'm saying? And, you know what I'm saying, the whole deal about, you know, who's the market that goes on there with the guards. Oh, this is at the wards now. You know, then. Furthermore, the Insular Intelligence, it's a case, I forget what state it is. Her sister just released, I think she did about a year and a half, which an all women's concentration camp, and she pregnant, and they the audacity, talking about, we don't know how this happened. I wasn't even come up with immaculate conception theory. You know what I'm saying? She in an all women's prison. You know what I'm saying? Man. This is the type of stuff, the type of atrocity that goes on. They're not even mentioning, you know, the guards. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's some sort of medical, you know, they don't know how this happened. You know what I'm saying? She's been a year and a half. She just came up pregnant, you know. But this stuff that goes, you know, because we are literally a captive audience. You know what I'm saying? Literally a captive audience. Open, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? To be attacked in a million other ways. So I'm just really glad you put in a clear context. G-Hawk, I see you, my brother. Yes, sir. I'm tuning in all over. Yeah, we're talking live in direct from Philadelphia. It was a phenomenal event. We're saying, and out of Malcolm X, El Hajmi, El Shabazz, and also what's going down there. We're going to also be talking about the upcoming next week's show. We're going to talk about particularly the case of Russell Maroon Schultz, another political prisoner. You know what I'm saying? What's the update on Emmanuel Jimmy Alamein? What's the update on Santiago Cody? What's the update on Jerry O'Dina Dunnigan? What's the update on the C numbers? What's the update on your cousin, your brother, the sister down the street? You know what I'm saying? In fact, y'all know what's hot called for your mom. Live direct. What else, my sister, things you want to add to us, too? What else? What else? I don't know if you tuned in or not, but anything else we should know about, what's going on? What's the next move? You definitely want to so Clint, this is your presence. A few years back, you came to the chairman for this peace party. We look forward to y'all coming back again, too. But really, I'm going to need y'all back on December the 4th. We're gonna need y'all. I know it's cold. You're in Philadelphia, so it ain't nothing foreign to y'all. We're going to need to really come heavy, too, for December the 4th. This is going to be the 50th year after the assassinations of Chairman Fred and President Mark Clark. We're going to need backup and black up on the ground here in Chicago. So I want to put that out. But anything else you want to add to us, what's going on now, or any other place for that matter?
So pretty soon, I believe it's June 8th. Don't quote me yet, but there's going to be something for Ramona Africa. She's going to be talking and giving thanks to people that support it. Juneteenth is some of the celebrations down here. It's like two different ones that's kind of major in Philly. But most importantly, we are just trying to organize. I work with a group that's North Philly Peace Park, and we're just bringing programs for the summer, for the children, for the people. We see the people. We ask the people what they need. You know, we ask ourselves what we need because we are the community. So there's going to be a lot more self-determination, a lot more building, and not just with the building, but the mobilizing, because a lot of times we forget to actually mobilize. And I've been talking to people about as far as the information with the Hampton House, so we definitely want to build with you more on that to figure out how we can help a little bit more from Philly. And, you know, we're definitely looking forward to coming back to Chicago. Anything you need, you know, we're here. So that's pretty much, you know, August is August. August is Black August. So there's going to be a lot of stuff going on in Philly. So we hope that you can come down again soon, and we'll definitely be up there to build with you.
Yes, indeed. Revolutionary love, revolutionary appreciation. Y'all, hey, y'all keep y'all heads up, eyes open, the fist clenched. Get y'all back like a backpack and chest like a bulletproof vest, y'all. You know what I'm saying? We ain't set tripping, no colonial borders, no chains, no shackles, no language barriers, you know what I'm saying? Divide us, spirit of Marcus Garvey, you know what I'm saying? One struggle, one people. So again, y'all, you know, clenched for sleep, but a phenomenal event. We get updates. We said he was, you know what I'm saying, he was rocking, he was caring. They making sure that the ground felt it, you know what I'm saying? And those the clamor of the community was so loud. You know what I'm saying? That it was a long live Malcolm X, El Hausman, Luke Shabazz, you know what I'm saying? Throughout Chicago, throughout Philly, throughout Vegas, you know what I'm saying? We get updates right now as we go, you know what I'm saying? Gary, Indiana, you know what I'm saying? Again. And we want to stress, we'll re-stress that let's not limit it to a date. That's, you know what I'm saying? Again, that prototype, that template, you know what I'm saying? Let's make sure we cross some T's and dot them I's, y'all. Make sure these examples are discussed now. Poetry sets, barber shops, our beauty shops, our pool halls. That's tied in. We do it in a way that we ain't preaching or building something about, you know, beating them in the head. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. Sometimes that beating in the head got to happen too, though. But let's tie it in. Let's intertwine it with our everyday situation. Because again, there's a difference. There's a difference between a revolution and a war. A war is you have two occupying armies, you suit up and you boot up to get out and get out. A revolution, on the other hand, you gain the mind and participation of the masses of the people, y'all. And as Malcolm X himself said, this is important to understand and important to be able to relate to. So I know we go through battle fatigue. Believe me, I can relate. Malcolm X has said, the collective consciousness of the people ticks slowly. The collective consciousness of the people ticks slowly, but it erupts with a volcanic force that makes Mount St. Helens look like nothing. The collective consciousness of the people ticks slowly, you know what I'm saying? She called me on this other night. Hold on one sec. Hold on. How we do this? You guys there? Y'all there? Hello?
Grandma, Brother Tim. Grandma, live and direct.
Okay. Okay.
And we have a call in queue.
No, hold on. Hold that call for 1 second. We got Teresa Schultz online right now. Hold on 1 second. Is that me? Teresa, that's you playing music? I know our service does not allow a lot of us to call in through the 929 number, y'all. So hit us on 708-223-8953. Teresa, if you looking on Facebook, okay. Okay. Teresa, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, right on. I hear you loud and clear. This is Teresa Schultz, y'all. We only got a few more minutes on this end, but we're going to Pacific on your pop's case next week, because I want to build up the time to build for it. And those But still, give us a basic rundown. You know what I'm saying? We know it's pressing right now about, you know what I'm saying, the medical situation he just subjected to. But give us a basic rundown, and I need you, Russell, and I, you know, all to come in next week in particular so we can hit it harder. But we got a few more minutes. But definitely, the mic is, give us, you know, who you are, who your pops is, so on and so forth. Let's prime them up for next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah, people. Stay tuned. Peace, everyone out there. Thank you, Fred, for giving us this opportunity. This is Sarita Shields on the Jordan Russell Maroon Shields, political prisoner that's 75 years of age, was held in solitary confinement for 28 years until we were able to free him. He's presently now not doing well. We desperately need the support of the community, and our people out there, our supporters, those who know what the Panthers stood for and what they fought for. My dad put his life on the front line for our people. Not only that, you know, for the generations to come after us, because what's going on now is my dad got terribly sick from eating some food from inside the prison. He had to have major surgery. Today, his legs are really swollen. His ankles are swollen. He's not doing well. We've been denied a visit with him until this weekend coming. We got to hear from him.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes.
He was told to sign over his rights before surgery. And that's all he knew was he couldn't hold down water. He couldn't hold down food. Now, people out there, you know, one of the things when you can't eat food, one thing you normally can do is drink some water. You know, water nourish us. But without that, he could have died. He couldn't even hold down water. He was bent over. They took 24 hours before they took him to the hospital. I want to keep y'all tuned in to what's going on with him. I know we're short on time, but stand by because we may need y'all. Well, really, we need you.
That's right. That's
you know, right. My dad's dad signed over his rights for surgery. He didn't even know what was going to happen. You know, by the grace of God and our ancestors, he came through it, but he's still not well.
And what were some of the things they were saying they couldn't get him to the proper medical attention? They said they didn't have enough gun cars, and also about even how they were stapling his stomach together.
Right. So yeah, he wasn't taking. He came walked into the infirmary until 24 hours later. One of the nurses told me, she said, "No, I want to send them out to the hospital because I just thought it was the stomach virus." But when the doctor seen him, he was like, "Get this man to a hospital." But meanwhile, they're waiting for this super security that they needed to escort the ambulance. Well, not escort, but to make sure there's no one that will try to do something to try to help him escape. Well, I'm at this point in my life where my dad is 75 years old. Mm-hmm. We're going to get him out. He's
yeah.
an elder,
yeah.
and he's suffering.
Yeah.
The other thing is, the man is bent over for 24 hours, can't even drink water.
Yeah.
What fence is he going to climb? Mm-hmm. What running, what jumping, what wall is he going to try to scale to escape when his life is on the line? He had to go into emergency surgery.
Yes, indeed.
So with all the tactics that are used against our people to have to escort the ambulance, tells you that they're never going to let go what he did to save his people
yes.
from the injustice
yes.
that still go on today,
yes.
that we still face with, y'all.
Yes, indeed.
You know, we got to wake up because not only are our soldiers dying behind bars, but we got black folks being gunned down right out here on the street. The same
yes.
shit he was fighting for
yes.
over 40 years ago is still going on today.
Yes.
And it ain't going to stop until we stop it.
Right on. You give us some contact information we can correspond with him, keep updated on the case, and that's and also to our listener and our viewer audience, we got some homework assignments. If you don't know who Russell Maroon Schultz is, find out. Get your questions together. Get your, you know what I'm saying, get your correspondence together. We want to come in. We want to come in blazing over next week's show. I tell you, our show is going to get prepared to the day before, the day after. We telling y'all, giving y'all a heads up. Next Wednesday, we coming in hard. But in the meantime, between time, give us some contact before we close out. You know what I'm saying?
You
Facebook.
Know what? This thing is so crucial with him still being labeled as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
That at his age, it's so crucial that we take that title away from him.
Because he's
75 years old. He's a senior now.
Yes.
But I'm gonna put out my personal phone number because I'm just at a level where I thank everyone for their support, but we also still need everyone's support. And my number is 267-456-7882. And you know, Chairman, you got it right. You know, if you don't know who Russell Maroon Schultz is, look up Russell Maroon Schultz. And the maroon comes from him, his ability to liberate himself from prison twice.
Legend.
And when he returned to the prison or after one of his escapes, one of the prisoners said, "Damn, man, you're a maroon." And he said, "What's a maroon?" He didn't even know back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And now he's got this incredible artwork, this timeline of the Jamaicans and all the, we'll go into that, but all the slaves who escaped their slave masters and went deep into the woods or to other islands or countries and escaped slavery.
Uh-huh.
And that's the maroon.
Yes,
so if you don't know nothing else about who Russell Maroon Schultz is, look up who the maroons were.
Yes,
because
indeed.
We are the maroons.
Watch out now. Yes,
and ain't nothing that we can't do.
That's right. That's
but
right.
We can free our people.
That's right.
Free them all.
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 Free them all. Free them
all.
All
right, Chet, Fred.
Love
Fred Hampton, I love you.
Hey, love you,
and
sis.
To all the people out there, thanks for listening and thanks for having me.
And we thank you. We locked the nose we for the episode next Wednesday, y'all. We coming in hard, y'all. Again, let's check that out, y'all. We got legends. We got people that are alive today. We ain't gotta go outside our community looking at no Luciano and John Gotti. You know, so we got some legendary people from our community that stood up and they're still standing up. They need our support, y'all. Again, free Russell Maroon Schultz, free Mount Jamal, I mean, free Mobi Abu Jamal, free the Move 9, hands over side of me. Thank y'all, it was our call. Free them all. Another episode, y'all. For the history books, we say, let's make history. Let's take history. Let's take history, man. Like to know that y'all next Wednesday, we need y'all on deck. This Saturday, we're going to be the Triple C Saturday, y'all say. We need y'all on deck. Come on through there. 804 South 17th Avenue. You know, say, maybe with Illinois 60153. Whatever support you can, come on with it. Come on. That's back. Come on. Come on with it. June 15th, we going fishing, Father's Day fishing, y'all. Contact the Cubs if y'all want to come on out there with us. We're going to be going Father's Day fishing. June 16th. We're going out to the grave site to see the Chairman Fred, you know, so we're going to check on him. In fact, you know, so we say Chairman Fred ain't dead. In fact, he said it best. You can kill a revolution, but you can't kill a revolution, y'all. Again, what's that call? That they be heard through every college campus, every barbershop, every beauty shop, every street corner. You know what I'm saying? Let it say it so loud that Russell Maroon shows hear you. Say it so loud the Move 9 hear you. Say it so loud people in New Orleans hear you. Say it so loud that, you know what I'm saying, Detroit, Chicago, you name it, that they hear you. That Sao Paulo, Brazil, you know what I'm saying, the Nina, France, that they hear you. Again, what's that call? What's our call? Free them all.
I'm speaking as a black man from America, which is a racist society. No matter how much you hear it talk about democracy, it's as racist as South Africa or as racist as Portugal or as racist as any other racialist society on this earth. The only difference between it and South Africa preaches separation and practices separation. America preaches integration and practices segregation. This is the only difference. They don't practice what they preach. Whereas South Africa preaches and practices the same thing. I have more respect for a man who lets me know where he stands, even if he's wrong, than the one who comes up like an angel and is nothing but a devil. There are 16 senatorial committees that govern the country and 20 congressional committees. 10 of the 16 senatorial committees are in the hands of Southern racialist senators who are racialists. 13 of the 20, about this was before the last election. I think it's even more so now. 10 of the 16 committees, senatorial committees, are in the hands of senators who are Southern racialists. 13 of the 20 congressional committees were in the hands of Southern congressmen who are racialists, which means out of the 36 committees that govern the foreign and domestic direction of that government, 23 are in the hands of Southern racialists, men who in no way believe in the equality of man, and men who do anything within their power to see that the black man never gets to the same seat or to the same level that they are on. The reason that these men from that area have that type of power is because America has a seniority system. And these who have that seniority have been there longer than anyone else because the black people in the areas where they live can't vote. And it is only because the black man is deprived of his vote that puts these men in positions of power that gives them such influence in the government beyond their actual intellectual or political ability, or even beyond the number of people from the areas that they represent. So we can see in that country that no matter what the federal government professes to be doing, the power of the federal government lies in these committees. And any time a black man or any kind of legislation is proposed to benefit the black man or give the black man his just due, we find that it's locked up in these committees right here. And when they let something through the committee, usually it is so chopped up and fixed up that by the time it becomes law, it's a law that can't be enforced.
Well, just as in World War II, this country could use its news media to propagandize and make the whole American public love the Germans and the Japanese, and rather love the Russians and the Chinese and hate the Germans and the Japanese. And then after the war, they changed it and made the American public love the Germans and love the Japanese, hate the Russians and hate the Chinese, which shows that they can make the American public love whom they will and hate whom they will. And that same process can be used to re-educate the American public and show white people how to love black people and show black people how to do something to stand on our own feet and solve our own problems. The black man doesn't have to be taught to love the white man. The white man has to be taught to love the black man.
But
I was invited to address the first Congress of the Council of African Organizations in London. They had a four-day Congress from the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, and had invited me there to make the closing address and bring the delegates from the various African organizations that are situated on the European continent up to date in regards to the struggle of the black man in this country in his quest for human rights and human dignity. And in conjunction with that invitation, I had gotten an invitation to visit Paris from the Afro-American community in Paris, which was sponsoring a rally in conjunction with the African community. And I was supposed to go there Tuesday also and address them and let them know the state of development or lack of development of our progress in this country for human rights or toward human rights. As many of you know, when I got to Paris, the man said I couldn't come in. Some man, French man. They gave me no explanation other than to say, we have our orders. They wouldn't let me phone the American embassy, and they tried to imply that the American embassy was behind it, which I told them that I didn't know De Gaulle had become a satellite of Lyndon B. Johnson. I knew that Kennedy had made a satellite out of Khrushchev and Britain and half of these other countries, but I didn't think that France was a satellite of the United States. Well, this made them angry because they like to be independent, you know, or pretend to be independent. The same thing happened in England. As many of you have probably read in the Sunday Times and Tribune, there was a great fear in England concerning me speaking to the West Indian community. And because England has a very serious color problem developing because so many of our people are migrating there from the British West Indies. France, quietly as it is kept, has a very serious color problem developing because of the migration to France of our people from the French West Indies. And with these people from the French West Indies, black people going to France, others from the British West Indies going to England, coupled with the Asians who are coming from the Commonwealth territories, along with the Africans from French Equatorial West Africa, formerly into France, and the British possessions into Britain. There's a large increasing number of dark-skinned people swelling the dark population of France and Britain, and it's giving them a great deal of cause for worry. The only difference over there and over here being that no one of black skin in France has ever tried to unite the dark-skinned people together, neither have they done so in England. So you can somewhat see what their fear is. No effort has been made to unite the Afro-American community or the American Negro community with the West Indian community, and then those two communities with the African community, and those communities with the Asian.
Worldwide revolution going on. It goes beyond Mississippi. It goes beyond Alabama. It goes beyond Harlem. What is it revolting against? The power structure. The American power structure? No. The French power structure? No. The English power structure? No. Then what power structure? An international Western power structure.